Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the 5E Filibuster.
Everybody, and welcome to the Friday Filibuster as a giant truck goes right by my window here in a rainy night in New England. I am Judge David Johnson, joined as always by Judge Mac McIntyre.
Hello.
And Judge Mike Rubino.
Hello.
And we're here to kill your Friday and send you to the weekend grinning and hopefully happy. So, I don't know, Mac, why don't you, what have you been up to? Why don't you kick us off?
Let's see. Haven't had time to get out to the theater lately. How about some comic book talk?
How about some comic book talk?
Let's do it.
Lately, I've been really into some of the stuff coming out of Marvel Comics with this writer, Kieran Gillen, I believe is the name. And he's doing some really amazing stuff with the X-Men and a new spinoff series called Generation Hope. So it's kind of, instead of like doing like the big events where, you know, it's the fate of the entire universe is at stake, he's scaled it back, you know, and he's doing more like just, you know, smaller stories instead of stories with like thousands of characters all at once. He's just managing only a handful of characters in each story, and I think that's really kind of working for his favor, because he's really the only person doing that at Marvel right now, and it's really good. His stuff, it's really exciting, really action-packed, lots of humor, lots of character, so I don't know, just wanted to give him a shout-out here on the podcast, because he's doing great work.
Very nice. All right. Speaking of comics, you ever read any Archie comics?
Oh, sure.
I've read a lot of Archie comics, I remember, way back in the day. I'm not sure what attracted me to them, but I read a lot of them.
But, you know, if you think about it, Archie and Saved by the Bell really are very, very similar.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Zach is Archie, right?
Okay.
And then Slater is Reggie.
That's right. I don't know. I mean, Reggie's more of an a-hole than Slater is.
I thought Slater has his... Well, you're the expert, but I thought Slater has his moments.
He has moments, but, I mean, Reggie is a dick. You know, he's got that hair that's just matted down like a bowling ball in his head, which is very off-putting.
Yeah, you got Jughead, and you got Screech.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Betty, Veronica, Kelly... Yeah, maybe Lisa's... Yeah, maybe Lisa Chess and Hybrid.
Saved by the Bell really had a Veronica. They really have a bad girl.
Wasn't she a rich girl?
Well, yeah, she is, I guess, but usually it's Betty is the nice girl, Veronica is sort of the bad girl.
Is there any... Has Archie Comics ever had a bad girl character? I mean, what is a bad girl in Archie universe?
Relatively speaking.
was that comic strip connected at all to Bazooka Joe?
I don't believe so.
Well, it should have been.
Nice.
I don't know. For some reason, in my mind, they're like this, like that you also got Archie comics from Gum, but I know that's not true.
We're really going after the 60-year-old demographic.
Yeah. Hey, you guys have a Werther's original lately?
Let's see. Also, and so stay tuned to the end of the podcast where we'll go over some of your options for Medicare Part D. That'll be a lot of fun. Okay. Very good. Anything else, Mac?
Let's see. Oh, I managed to catch Falling Skies this week.
Yeah, the Noah Wiley TNT alien invasion drama, right?
Right, yeah. Kind of a mixed bag on this. It does have guys on motorcycles fighting aliens. That's good. But at the same time, it was just kind of, I don't know, it felt like some crucial element was missing. Or maybe I've just seen too many of this type of thing before, the whole alien invasion thing. One thing was a surprise, they actually showed the aliens, which is like the last thing that I thought they were going to do.
What do they look like in this iteration?
Pretty much like any other, you know, CGI alien we've seen before. But, you know, we did get to see them at least.
That's not bad. All right, so you're going to stick with it?
Maybe. If I remember to watch it again next week, I'll watch it again next week. So.
Ringing endorsement.
If you remember, Tuesday's at 8.
All right, Mike's still working off his Vermont hangover. What do you got cooking?
Almost, actually. Two things of interest. The far more interesting one is that I went very near to Vermont again this past weekend for the 4th of July.
Wow, you are just...
Yes.
I mean, that's a siren call, isn't it?
Yes. This past weekend was my girlfriend's birthday, and she's spending a good bit of the summer with a theater company that's located up in Troy, New York, near Albany.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And
I drive through Troy all the time.
Oh, really?
Out of Albany. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, from New Hampshire to Albany, a very scenic route in Vermont over the Hogback Mountains.
Well, how about that? Well, good. You can go see her play.
I will go out of my way to do that.
And so I decided to surprise her for her birthday at the last minute, and I drove from Cleveland to Troy.
Whoa, how long was that?
7 hours.
Wow.
And showed up and surprised her at a restaurant where the theater company was eating. It was very,
wow,
very awesome. And
sounds very dramatic.
It was dramatic. I sent a drink over.
Wow. I mean, I would hope they would be impressed as a theater company of how dramatic it is.
It was. Nice. It was super exciting. And also a little bit of drama on the way there. I blew a fuse in my car.
Okay.
Because a penny fell into the electrical socket, the cigarette lighter.
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay.
And I never thought that would be able to happen, but it fell in there and it connected and it shorted out the cigarette lighter.
Wow.
The problem being that I was switching between my GPS and my phone charger because both needed, you know, my GPS battery was dying, so I tried to plug it in. And then I shorted out the thing, and I was only like an hour into my trip. So I was like, I don't know if I can get the rest of the way.
Tell me you climbed down the hood like MacGyver and fixed it while the car was moving.
I did get – what happened was I pulled off to the side of the – I pulled off the exit. I used a pair of nail clippers to get the penny out.
Okay. Well, aren't those metal? Were you playing with fire there?
I was. But I was in a hurry. I was desperate. I wasn't going to let this stop me from seeing my girlfriend. So
very dramatic.
Yes, so I got the manual out, which had a map of the fuse box. I opened up the dashboard of my Volkswagen, found the fuse. It was melted, and I found the fuse for the sunroof, and I swapped them.
Impressive.
And I got the electrical outlet working again. I was able to get the GPS going, and I drove the rest of the way.
That's nice. That's good, solid alpha male problem solving right there.
It might have been the manliest weekend I've ever
had. That's not bad. Wow. Did you come back with a few more hairs on your chest, perhaps?
Sure did.
Nice.
I got two extra ones.
Two extra.
So yeah, and then on the way back was the 4th of July, and I was surrounded by fireworks the entire way. It was very dramatic as well.
Wow.
Like I was passing Buffalo, and I was passing Erie, and the fireworks were going off in those towns. So it was, it was quite a weekend, I must say.
So you went through the whole western tier of New York then?
I did. I took 90. Yeah. So, yes.
So you went through my hometown of Utica.
I did. I did drive past Utica.
That's right.
I thought of you.
Yeah, very good. Now, very interesting, when you take that tour and you see how, you know, the city planners had the idea of naming all their cities after these classical cities like Rome.
I did, yeah.
Troy, obviously. Utica, Ithaca, you know, very Syracuse.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. It's
are all toxic waste dumps around.
Well, Troy's very beautiful, if you've ever.
Troy is, I know Troy. It's got some dumpy parts. It's got some gang problems.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Well, the downtown area is very nice.
That's true. It's not too bad. Everything's downhill on Troy. It's all built on an incline.
Ah.
It's maybe you're in a different part, because I always go through Troy, and there's always a steep downhill, and I drove it one white knuckle winter night with terrible tires and almost spun out.
So it wasn't a beautiful romantic.
No, not at all. It was a pants wedding travesty. That's what it was. But man, that sounds like you got the makings of a Lifetime original movie, perhaps.
It was pretty excellent, pretty exciting.
It's not tragic enough for a Lifetime original movie.
That's true. Yeah, maybe you got electrocuted while changing the have made it tragic enough.
Or if I solved some sort of cross state burglary ring while I was
That would be good. All right, so thank you for sharing that story. I'm guessing that is that all you've got for us this week? I mean, that's plenty. I'm very happy that you shared it.
I mean, everything else kind of pales in comparison. I watched Birdemic.
All right, well, we should have stopped with that.
Yeah. So.
Well, I went out and saw Transformers 3. I am a glutton for Transformers punishment. I would say this is probably the best of the three.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Obviously, the second one was, you know, brain implosion, but this one was really. I mean, it's certainly plagued by the same problems. Like, there's some stupid stuff. The parents are idiots. There's a way, it's way too long. A Transformers movie should not be 2 hours and 40 minutes. However,
wow.
And it's all like shot with this, all this. It's, Sam Witwicky would not have these girlfriends. That doesn't make any sense. But but the racist robots are gone, which is nice. And the whole last hour really is a sight to behold. I mean, as far as sustained big screen summer action, I mean, it's that whole last hour, which is essentially Chicago getting pulverized by Decepticons and human beings getting like blasted to death and murdered by Decepticons. Wow. Like charged skulls rolling around and whatnot. it was pretty cool. And you have Optimus Prime showing up and saying, "Now we kill them all." That's pretty good, So,
wow.
So the whole last hour was pretty badass. I saw it in 3D, which I regret seeing in 3D. It wasn't an IMAX. It was like a regular theater with the 3D, with the cheapo 3D glasses. They barely fit over my glasses. And, and after a while I've realized with 3D, it just, you get used to it after a while. So if you're going to get used to it, you might as well watch it in 2D without crappy glasses, on your face. So, but anyway, I did like it. It was probably the most fun. It's not the best movie of the summer, absolutely, but it's probably the most fun I had. Again, I'm probably more forgiving of Transformers faults than most people. But I did think, especially that last hour was pretty awesome. However, there's one it's really so stupid, such a stupid thing at the end where slight spoiler warning, but Sam's girlfriend gives a little pep talk to Megatron, and it's a major plot point, and it's just really terrible, really terrible. I mean, just takes you out, and it is terrible. So probably the stupidest moment in all three movies, and that includes Sam going to robot heaven in the second one. So that tells you how dumb it was. So that irritated me to no end. But beyond that, I did have a good time, and the action stuff was really unbelievable. So,
wow.
Yep, there you go. Well, let's move on to, I don't know, what we've got coming up for Verdict. Mac, what do you got?
Let's see. Okay, last week we talked about The Cape.
That's right.
So also a recent review I did, I went over the seventh and final season of Medium.
Oh, that's right. With the what's her face?
Patricia Arquette.
Thank you.
Plays a psychic who is also a detective and hardworking mother of three. I actually like this show. It's like comfort food TV. It's not really like not big blockbuster thrills. It's not the hottest show on TV, but it's the characters are likable. It's more of a low key type of a show, which is not what you'd expect from a psychic crime fighter, but there you have it. But no, it's a good cast, and there's funky dream sequences. So I think if you've stuck with the show for six seasons, you definitely want to see the how it all ends, and the final episode is just crazy. They take in the very last episode, they take the show off in a whole other direction, which really gutsy move.
Gutsy, but that's it though. It's the end, right?
Yeah, they wrap everything up, but just probably not in the way that anyone ever would have expected them to wrap everything up.
Let me get, was it all a dream by any chance?
No, well, yes and no.
Oh, wow.
This is Medium we're talking about. She has crazy dreams all the time, so that's an element to it. But,
All right. Mike, what about you?
Well, I just got done watching and I'm working on a review for Hobo with a Shotgun.
Oh, all right. Which Roger Hauer, right?
Yes, which I talked about last week and watched last night. And it is ridiculous in a great way. If you are if you're a fan
feel
of...
like they were trying real hard,
In a way, they are trying real hard, but it comes off as so, to me at least, it came off so absurd and so ridiculous and so over the top that it came back around to itself as being this authentic grindhouse type of picture in a way that the other grindhouse movies weren't, in the way that Machete certainly wasn't. There's very little like winking and nodding towards the audience. They don't try and fake a lot of like missing reels. They don't try and fake scratches and stuff. They just go for very authentic early 80s, synth and violence, and there's dudes that come out and all decked out in like armor and motorcycles, and I don't know. It's certainly for a very specific type of audience, probably like the geeky, absurd, you know, maybe ironic audience.
Sure.
You know that.
Absolutely.
You know, the Comic-Con crowd and that sort of thing. But it's not going to be. It is so violent and so crass and so just over the top. And what's so funny is that Rutger Hauer plays it completely straight. He plays it as serious as can be. And he makes the film like a million times better because of it.
Nice. That's cool. Why is this isn't?
Yeah, they keep saying in like the in one of the featurettes, you know, more blood, more heart. Well, he is certainly more heart, and the director took care of the more blood part because he's everything that guy says in the movie is golden. So if you, I recommend it if you're a fan of those kinds of movies, the grindhouse movies and stuff. It's all right. It's pretty violent. It doesn't really look real, but there's a lot of violence. So, you know, take that as a fair warning. But I certainly had a fun time with it.
Nice. Well, Mac, how about you? Oh, wait.
We did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know why? Because my brain's a little melted. I'm looking through recent reviews, and I can't think of anything that anybody want to hear anything about. So, I mean, you tell me what interests you. I've got a salmon documentary, the best of WCW Nitro. A ultra low budget western starring Michael Madsen, a plane documentary, a Boeing Legends of Flight documentary, tropical rainforests. IMAX.
Well, you say to
anything?
Me, you say anything. western starring Michael Madsen. I think, oh, that could be good.
you are thinking wrong. I mean, this is one of those low budget shot and video, micro budgeted ones. So it's just shocking to me. Apparently, Madsen's mortgage just must really need paying because I have no idea why he's in this. He's not even the main guy, but obviously you're going to make him the main guy if you get Michael Madsen in your movie. So that's, I guess, nothing really. I did review the ninth series of MI5, which is the BBC spy drama.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like their 24. That was pretty good. I didn't watch this series since the first, actually, but this one picked up, you know, picked up pretty nicely and moved along quickly. It's a nice cinematic sequences, like all of these MI5, I mean, they always, from the ones I've seen, like the series ends with just major character cliffhanger shocker endings. So another similar thing to 24. So this one is no different, and I'll leave it at that. But good show, and a nice, really scratches the itch for the spy fan. All right, Mac, why don't we take a look at what's coming out next week?
Sure. We are going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab. From there, we're going to scroll down to the cover art gallery for July 12th. And we're just going to take a look at what's on the list here and see what's coming out and what excites and interests and terrifies us.
All right. There's MI5, and right above it is The Lincoln Lawyer, which I reviewed, which I enjoyed.
How about the old-timey Ghostbusters cartoon?
Oh, is that being re-released? Yeah.
The ape.
Yeah, I reviewed that gorilla on the site. Yeah. That is reviewed on the site by me, and yeah, pretty – not a big fan of that.
Yeah,
although the main bad guy was cool, Primeval. That's pretty awesome.
Nice.
And it was based on a live-action show of the same name?
Oh, that's right. There was a live-action one, wasn't there, that also had the gorilla – Well, I just barely remember that.
There you go.
Wow.
I guess Shout Factory is still cranking out the Roger Corman releases. We've got Battle Beyond the Stars.
Another review app. That's right. I reviewed that for the site, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those, I don't know, maybe, I think, like, goofy Roger Corman sci-fi nostalgia could only take you so far, I think. You know, Star Crash, that's something. You know, that's fun. And it's so audacious and it's Star Wars ripping off, you know, and then you got Hasselhoff. This one just wasn't very good.
It stars John Boy Walton.
That's right.
As
a space badass. Actually, not a space, the anti.
No, he's the Luke Skywalker.
That's true.
Character.
But there are a bunch of pacifists that are being invaded by John Saxon's killer.
Somebody else semi-famous is in that,
Sybil
right?
Sybil Danning from the Howling series.
Oh, wow, Sybil Danning, yeah. No, but I'm thinking if there was like an older actor.
Oh, you know who's in it? George Peppard.
George Peppard, is that who it was? That's who I was thinking of, but I wasn't sure.
Terrible
if it was
role. Terrible.
Yeah.
The cowboy. Yeah, it was just
the
so,
cowboy. Yeah.
So dumb.
And they're the two like twins who like when they stand next to each other, they set stuff on fire. They always have to separate them, right?
This the what's his face? But he was a villain in Superman 3. You know the
main, oh that guy. Yeah, yeah. I know
it's
exactly.
He's like
what
this
you mean.
Intergalactic gangster, and he gets offed right at the beginning. So yeah, yeah, that's yeah. The that's right. There's the twins on fire in the cover. So yeah, not mad. The effects were decent, but it doesn't have the kitsch that like Star Crash does. Yeah. Speaking of Roger Corman, Dino Croc, and Super Gator, but who really cares?
Yeah. There's a lot of like opera and a lot of music coming out for some reason.
That's true. There's a whole like run of like classical music.
Yeah, get out of here.
You almost do like Boggle. You know, just connect all the music releases. Because you got Don Pasquale connects the Foo Fighters over to Foreigner down to Iced Earth. You know?
I noticed one of these is Music Lessons, and the guy's name is Van Damme. But he's not the Van Damme.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if Jean-Claude Van Damme was your music teacher, what would that be like?
I'm going to guess awesome.
Yeah, a lot of splits.
A lot of splits, yes. all right.
Yeah.
I don't know. So,
not really.
Okay, at the end there, how about a zombie driftwood? What do you make of that?
Okay. I like the cover art.
Very little. You click on the Amazon release. Very
yeah.
Go on.
I don't even know what the runtime is on this thing.
There's nothing. You have nothing to work from.
All we know is it's the funniest zombie movie since Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Says the box art, so I guess I have to believe it, even though it's available from no sellers. So.
And
check out Things, 1989, the guy with the power drill. Do you see that Things? Click on the cover. It says "Warning: Horror and brutal violence in full color."
Wow,
that's right.
He doesn't look that scary. It's like I think I might be able to take him.
It's the first Canadian shot on Super 8.
Yes, it is. And it stars some guy from Hobo with a Shotgun too.
Is it really? Oh, it does. How about that?
Oh, that's what merits this release then.
So Canucksploitation. How about that?
Canucksploitation. I like the review. Be prepared to blow your mind. That doesn't make any sense. sounds and looks pretty fantastic. Actually,
yeah.
If I had
yeah.
To be honest.
Hobo with a Shotgun is very Canadian. It was filmed in Nova Scotia and is all Canadian actors. So I guess it is I didn't even know Canucksploitation existed, but if Australia can have Ausploitation, Canucksploitation it is.
If it exists, you can add sploitation to the end of it.
That's true.
Well, then I've got some work to do.
All right. Any releases on any DVD release of the week, Mac?
Let's see.
And to me, there's only one correct answer, so we'll see.
All right, I guess I'll go with Extreme Habitats.
that sounds like a very boring.
But it's extreme.
It is extreme. But Habitats is like the most boring word ever made. Habitat, boring word. Okay. Mike.
Thomas in Charge.
Not bad, but not it. The correct answer is Party in a Box. Gabby Gabbis, Party in a Box. All right, moving on to our ambush topic segments where we've got random topics that we'll throw at each other right now, and I will go first, gentlemen. One of my favorite elements of the Anthony Weiner trial, saga, rather, is... do you recall what I'm talking about? Yes, the Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Was the nonstop barrage of New York Post front page headlines. Those were fantastic.
Oh, right.
So here's the challenge now. We're going to go around, and you have to come up with, from taking one of our favorite action movies that we tend to talk to a lot, we'll choose action movies and we'll toss them at each other. Like, so Mac, I will give you one. Mac, then you give one to Mike, and Mike, you give one to me, okay?
Yeah.
And you have to figure out what, following the events of that action movie, what would the sensationalistic New York Post front page headline be? Okay? All right, okay. So Mac, Here we go. Die Hard.
Okay. You know I write headlines for a living.
Here
right?
you go. Let's make it sensation. It's got to be New York Post-y.
Oh, okay. I imagine the usual questions like, you know, what's my point size and my column length, and that's going to fall on deaf ears, is it?
We don't care.
Okay, Die Hard.
So the events of Die Hard are just taking place. Mm-hmm. What is the New York Post-y sensationalist headline?
Let's see. Okay, it was, refresh memory, is Nakatomi. Nakatomi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Exactly. So something like Nakatomi, Sakatomi. No.
Sakatomi, Nakatomi.
Sakatomi, yeah,
that's bad. There's a lot of letters on the front page.
Yeah, that's a mess of a page.
Yeah, but Nakatomi.
Oh, there you go. Good.
Okay, but you know what? Die Hard 2, I mean, it's a New York City cop who, you know, does all the hero stuff. So
that's true. NYPD mows down LA. No, that sucks.
Top cop stops.
Yeah. let's see. I don't know. Cops steps on glass, kicks some ass. No.
That's not bad. I don't know if they can use that on the page.
Yeah.
You could just make it kick some glass.
That's good. Yes. Kick some glass. Now you're talking. All right. Okay, so Mac, give one to Mike.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Action movie. Predator.
Nice. The events of Predator have just been leaked to the New York Post.
Yeah. Well, you know, aside from like this normal stuff like Rumble in the Jungle. Mud Masked Avenger.
That's not bad. That's good. All right,
Dave.
Oh, yeah. It's a new one.
Okay. Speed.
Nice. Let's see. Bus, comma, stop.
Get off the bus.
Get off the bus. How about Transit Mania? I don't know. let's see. Okay. You guys have any? Feel free to jump in with other ones if you think of them. All right, well, how about Gymkhana, Mac?
Oh, dear. Gymkhana. I can do this. Okay, so what's our hero's name?
Jonathan Cabot.
Cabot, okay. So, well, on the sports page, you can have, because it is a competition.
That's true.
You can, you know, Cabot 1, Thorg 0.
That's good. I like that. Cabot 1, Thorg 0. Or maybe pommeled.
There you go.
Pommeled.
But any mention of Thorg is an automatic win.
Exactly. Got to have Thorg.
Thorg loser?
Oh! Thorg would not like that headline.
He would not.
Thorg would go marching down to the New York Post office and start taking names.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so yeah, we'll finish this round out. Mac, how about another one? Toss the mic.
Okay. let's see.
There's got to be the softball. That's right. You got to send him the softball.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't want to do that. Do we really want to do the easy one? No.
Okay.
Nah, you don't have to give me the softball. We're all thinking it.
Okay, yeah, that's okay.
Well, fine. Well, I'll do it at the end. I'll give you some more. I'll have to do the softball at the end.
All right. So, how about the events of Star Trek 4?
Oh, get out of here. I don't
Did you ever see Star Trek 4?
I don't even... No, I don't.
No? Okay, all right. They go back to modern day.
That's about the whales. Yeah.
Oh, that's the one with the whales. Okay.
Hump day. That's what I would call it.
Hump day.
They have to save humpback whales.
All right, I'm going to give you another one. See, action movie. No, I'm drawing a blank. Okay, Hunt for Red October.
That's a tough one. I don't know.
I know. I was trying to think of like toasted subs.
Oh, good one.
Or was it like, I don't know what the, I don't know any numbers attached to it, but like $500 million foot long.
That's good. That's nice. All right, what do you got for me, Mike?
Executive decision.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that's... Oh, man, that's pretty... Let's see. Doesn't Kurt Russell spend that whole movie in a tux, or no? No, he doesn't. I remember him being a tuxedo for a lot of that movie. I'm trying to remember.
I don't think... Are you thinking of Air Force One?
No, he was in a... No, I don't think he was a tux on the airplane.
Oh.
Like, he was like pulled out of a cocktail party.
Okay.
An executive decision.
Mine would be something like, elite SWAT team killed in first 5 minutes.
Yes. That could be a lot of action movies.
I know.
Actually, I don't know. Fly swatted?
That's good.
Okay, a couple for us to toss around. How about Firestorm?
Oh.
Invents a firestorm, linked to the New York Post.
Tragedy.
Tragedy.
Canoes you lose?
Canoes you lose. That's good. That's great. Flat top dog.
Yeah. Don't ax, don't tell.
That's very good. Ground pounded. All right, the softball. Sudden death. So whatever the equivalent in Pittsburgh is for the New York.
Yeah.
Hero cop. Let's see. Hero cop comes through shorthanded.
He shoots, he saves. Kid doesn't leave seat.
Chopper on ice.
Let's see. Oh, I know what you would do. You get a picture of the helicopter falling right from the auditorium. Penguin plunge.
Oh, that's good. Shaved ice.
Not bad. was this supposedly Game 7 of the Stanley Cup?
Yes.
I don't. Okay.
Yes.
No, shaved ice might win. All right.
Nice.
See, this is the kind of topic that all the good stuff will come to us well after this podcast.
Exactly. That's yeah.
Right. So maybe we will visit this at another time. Mull this over. So for now, Mac, why don't you go?
Okay. Here's something a little bit less complicated, I hope. So very simple. Vans. Which, I mean, the vehicle, not Jeff Spicoli's favorite shoe.
Yes, Vans. Okay. We'll set the obvious one aside for now. But the speaking of Canuck exploitation, by the way, I believe this was a Canadian film, Rock and Roll Nightmare.
John Michael Thor.
Very good. Very good. John Michael Thor says Rock and Roll Nightmare, and the first 10 minutes, and I believe I checked the counter on this, is just footage of a van driving down a road. It's not even like opening credits. It's just like footage of a van. I don't remember much else in that movie.
Because they had to get the song on the soundtrack.
That's right.
They played it while the van.
Yeah, that's right. They played the whole song with the van moving. So it was a lethally boring van sequence.
Man, there's a lot of options here. I'm tempted to go with the A-Team.
Go for it.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Yes. Yeah, the A-Team had that sweet van that was with them all the time.
I mean, it didn't really have any gadgets or anything.
No, it was just a van. It just
out of it.
It just had a killer paint job.
That's what it was. It was a van with a... So, actually...
And the fin on top.
Yeah, it had that fin.
If you think about it, it made zero sense to have that, because these were fugitives on the run. You know, wouldn't you want like a Caprice Classic or something that you blend in?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, or, you know, at least you can have the van on one mission. You know, then you got to get rid of it.
Then you got to get rid of it. So, but yeah. I never...
Well, they've already got Mr. T and Helen Mann Murdock. They're not blending in.
That's true.
So that's might as well have the van.
I mean, that thing busted down a lot of gate fences. Yes. So, a lot of metal fences. So that's about as all it was good for. But
and as it would bust down the fences, the little sparks would shoot off the sides of the fences as it fell down.
Yeah, right. They're all electric fences. So, yeah, that's the best answer I can think of.
Well, Dave, I don't know if this is the obvious one that you were thinking.
I was thinking A-Team.
Oh, you were thinking A-Team. Okay. Another famous one is from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Van. Yeah. I've had the turtles on the mind a lot lately. I don't know why, but
it's true. That had cool things in it, right?
That had all kinds of gadgets. We only saw the gadgets once or twice on the show itself, but you know, it had the shell on top that would pop out, and then my favorite was the side door would open and the little chair would slide out with the pizza gun that actually shot pizzas at whoever. It was like a disc gun, you know, it was shooting discs, but it fired pizzas.
Very handy.
Not the most practical weapon.
Yeah.
And you'd think the guys would, you know, not be very happy at throwing away pizza like that, but yeah, pizza gun. Pretty sweet.
I mean, it basically kind of was it looked like the A-Team van on the surface, right? It had the fin. It had a similar paint job, but it did everything that the A-Team van didn't do, which was dispense pizzas and flip out with guns and stuff.
Right, yeah. I think Donatello might have had like some kind of super computer and inside too that he could like hack into things. But...
How did they afford this stuff is what I never...
It's scavenged from junk in the sewers that people
throw away. People throw away. You know.
Supercomputers.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
That stuff gets tossed all the time. And I always try and flush mine, and that's why they wind up.
There you go. That's right. All right. It's all you. All right. It's all you, Mike.
Okay, it's going to get gross.
All right, let's do it up.
Intestines.
All right. Okay, easy. For me, it's Peter Jackson's Dead Alive. Also,
oh, yeah.
Brain Dead. I mean, someone's intestine is its own character in this movie. You know, intestine falls out of this guy, and it's its own character. It's running around the bathroom. It actually looks at itself in the mirror. It farts at a guy. I mean, it's an actual character adopted in the movie. So, and of course, there's plenty of other regular intestines that get just thrown around anyway. But
that's right.
That was a first.
Let's see. Well, there's a really good one, but it's a huge spoiler from a movie, so I don't know if I want to go there. It's a final bad guy death where a guy gets gutted.
Huh. I don't know.
Should I just spoil it?
Yeah,
all right. It's from the most recent Rambo movie.
Oh, yes.
The general is, all hell's breaking loose.
The only spoiler is how he dies. Obviously, he's going to die, so no worries.
The general is, all hell's breaking loose, and the general, being the coward that he is, goes on the run through the forest. But Rambo does Jason Voorhees' teleportation trick and jumps out from behind a tree and just guts the general.
Little CGI in hands, too, but it looked great.
Yeah,
it
did. He had, like, the intestines of five men inside of him.
Yes,
it's like the Grinch, right?
All came spilling out.
Yeah. Grinch.
His intestines grew six times.
Yeah, that's a good one, Mac. Very good.
That is good. I had a couple in mind, but the one that is most notable to me is the zombie movie Dead Snow.
That's right.
With the Nazi zombies, and there's a ton of intestines in that. Anytime a zombie bumps into a tree, their intestines fall out. But there's a very good or notable scene where a guy is hanging from a cliff by a zombie's intestines. Or is it his own intestines? I don't remember. There's somebody's intestines. I think they're zombies.
I wonder if intestines are strong enough to hang somebody from.
Well, they apparently are. I mean, the same thing happens in Machete, which was my other one. Towards the beginning of that movie, he jumps out of a hospital window with somebody's intestines and swings to another window. So
I think we need to get the Mythbusters on this to see how strong intestines are.
Right. I bet it has to do with your diet. If you eat a lot of, I don't know, a lot of beef jerky.
Yeah, what strengthens you? Like a lot of Slim Jim, a lot of seasoned meat sticks, perhaps.
Yeah. You eat some well-preserved meats, you're going to have the strongest intestines.
That's right. Before we wrap up, I'm going to give you guys a bonus ambush topic because mine was fairly esoteric, and I'm going to forget about this one next week. So quick bonus ambush topic. Kind of gross going with their same type of thing, Mike. Dudes falling into whirring blades. So just jump out with anything you got.
All right, License to Kill.
Yes.
Benicio Del Toro.
Absolutely.
Falls into those blades at the end of the spoiler alert. At the end of the movie there.
It's great. One of the great Bond deaths ever.
Yeah, that's a solid one.
And he goes feet first slowly.
Oof. I think Bond said something afterwards, but I don't remember.
Turn off the bloody machine. That's the only thing he says. Like License to Kill is like, if not the best ones, it's got the most painful Bond deaths. You know?
It's one of the best ones probably, but
yeah, it's pretty
like
brutal.
All the deaths in that movie, they're all painful and prolonged.
Yeah.
Eaten alive by maggots, depressurized until you explode, set on fire, you know. Pretty on forklift, pretty brutal. So.
It's a beast, yeah.
All right. Falling into Whirring Blades. So what do you got? Anyone?
I don't know. Well, I guess it doesn't count because the one I'm thinking of, he doesn't actually fall.
Go for it. Okay.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. He's fighting the gigantic bald dude.
Or Pat Roach.
Pat Roach, yeah. And Pat Roach gets the bad end of the propellers.
Now, I've never seen this movie, The Last Boy Scout, but I remember seeing the end, and I think a guy falls into a helicopter rotor.
Ah.
Have you guys ever seen The Last Boy Scout? Damon Wayans, Bruce Willis?
I'm trying to remember. Yeah, Bruce Willis.
I just remember seeing, the last bit, and, the bad guy falls into helicopter rotors and just, coats the windshield with blood. That was pretty... that wasn't bad. And then another one is... What's-his-face getting sucked into the jet turbine in Die Hard 2?
Oh, yeah.
Spit out the back. That was a pretty good one. Falling into blades. Another guy in Die Hard with a Vengeance, the Kung Fu guy, falls into some fan thing. So.
Doesn't that almost happen to Nicolas Cage in Face Off?
Oh, yes, that's right. There's
he gets sucked down that tunnel.
Down that big tunnel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes, the wind tunnel. Yes.
Doesn't that almost happen to Charlie in Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory?
Yes, that's right.
He gets the belching gas, and he and Grandpa go floating up. And
so, almost moving fan in recorded history.
That movie would have really taken a somber turn had that.
Highlander 2 was another one with the big spinning fan, and they use the magic sword to block the fan.
There you go.
So that McCloud and Ramirez can escape. Yeah.
And bring it around full circle, going back to Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, obviously the lawnmower attack.
Oh, yeah.
All right, with that, we'll wrap this Friday Monster up. So there you go, four ambush topics for the price of three and a half or so. So anyway.
On the free show.
Yes, that's right. Thank you to Mike and Mac. Thank you for tuning in. Have a good weekend. And Friday Filibuster at DVDverdict.com is our email. Mac, what do you have to add?
I'm the dude playing the dude disguised as another dude.